Hey guys, before we get cranking here on the Boop Show, have you heard of There Will Be Dungeons? Do you like Dungeons and Dragons? Well, I got good news for you because There Will Be Dungeons is a fantastic show that is basically a live stream of a bunch of friends playing D&D, a custom campaign set in a post-apocalyptic world using 5th edition rules from Dungeons and Dragons. And it airs every Saturday and is available right now as a podcast, as video archives, or you can watch it live. All the details are at therewillbedungeons.com. That's therewillbedungeons.com. Now on with the show.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 205 for Monday, March 25th, 2019. Yeah. Everybody, welcome back to The Boop Show. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm here with Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Hi, Brian Dunaway. It's nice to see you today. It's good to be here, be had by you, near you.
Yeah.
Around that sounds, you. It's all wrong.
That sounds fantastic. No, it doesn't sound wrong. It sounds beautiful. Like two men who love each other deeply. Yeah. What's wrong with it?
Son, when a podcaster and his friend podcaster love each other very much.
They make little baby podcasts, yeah, like
the,
this one.
Like this one, The Boop Show, exactly. Brand new baby, slap it on the butt and send it on its way to college. All right, hey, it's good to be here, everybody. Thank you for being here. We're going to get right into it. Before we do anything, though, it has come to my attention that Brian has in his possession the Commodore 64 or C64 Mini, the bastard.
That's right.
Is it out of the box? Right. You still have it boxed?
Oh, I got it out of the box. I had to play with it. It's so small. It's a mini. It's just so little.
Does that keyboard work?
Heck no, the keyboard doesn't work. It's just for looks. Okay. You plug this into the HDMI of your TV, yep. And then you plug on the side here. You plug in yourself a little keyboard, which never leaves me bored. And you got a little power back there. And it just works on the standard micro USB little deal. And you just bring it up, and it plays. It has 64 games on it, which most of them I have no clue. I only had like 4 games back in the day when
it
I
makes
had 64.
Sense that they would do 64 though, right? Because you know,
right?
C64.
It makes sense, but they were making up some stuff, I think. So that, and my favorite part is the BASIC. Commodore BASIC was where I lived back in the day because when I would get magazines, the Commodore 64 magazines, they would have games in the back of the magazines, and yeah. You could program them in for free. The only cost was your darn labor of tickety-tickety-text.
Your hard-earned time and effort. Exactly.
Right.
I mean, that's... Go ahead.
It comes with a joystick. Oh, that's right.
Okay, I was going to ask you that, if it came with a controller of some sort, but joystick, eh? Yes. No joystick, paddles? Got any paddles there? No?
I don't have any paddles.
Okay.
I haven't paddles back in the day, so it's okay. I wish I had like a little small 1541 disc drive, but they didn't. They don't have that. So yes.
Yeah, or a tape drive. I had a tape drive on mine.
I had a cassette drive on my Commodore VIC-20.
Yeah.
My VIC-20. That was always fun. It's like, oh, time to save something. Better hit that record and play.
Yeah.
Dude. And then you'd forget, and you'd have that tape later on. You have your jam box, and you'd throw the tape in there, and you're like, what is this tape? And it go.
Yeah. Now, should I be concerned at all that the website for this, which is supposed to be the C64.press, says, according to multiple browsers, not secure. That's no good, is it? You don't want insecure web.
Yeah, you don't want
addresses.
That. I didn't order it from the site. I ordered it. Where'd I get it from? Oh, I picked it up just like the other week because this doesn't look like the same site I went to. Okay, anyway, yeah.
Is this not real? Is this a scam? The world's best scam ever, pay and get nothing? What is this?
The 64 scam, doing it to the backers.
It's somebody...
Oh, he's bitching about it.
Yeah, somebody complaining about it. That's what this is.
Oh, ignore that. Don't go to that website.
Probably got myself some malware now. Yeah.
Right. Pretty. But probably, yeah, I picked mine up off Amazon. They had it on sale like at Sam's Club, which is too far away from me, for $27. And I said, hey, how about $37 from Amazon? Perfect.
Really? That's all it is?
$37, man. I don't know how much it is now. That's how much it was when I got it.
Okay, tell me the games. Is it like you probably let me guess. Because I haven't looked at this. I don't know this list. I'll bet there's a Load Runner in there.
Well, there's got to be a Load Runner, right?
Is it on the back? On the box there?
Well, I did. It actually has a outer packaging that's not nearly as attractive. It had all the crappy games on it.
And, yeah.
I actually threw that part away, but I kept the nice little 60. So let's take a look. I bet you they got it on the internet. C64 MIDI games.
I'm looking this up while you're doing that as well.
And you can add more games. That's what I really kind of want to do. I want to add more things to it.
Yeah. The Verdict, they like it. They gave it a good review on IGN.
Yeah.
It says it has a generous suite of classic games, but its controller can be more of a killjoy than a joystick. is anyone hacking one of these yet and turning it into something rad, or do you know?
Oh, I'm sure they are. I haven't gotten that far yet, but I am on it. I am planning on doing everything with this thing. I'm gonna hack it, slash it, because it's only $37. I'll get another one.
I think I'm gonna get one of the minis. I'm getting a mini.
And then we can hook up to the internet and we can play nothing because that's not how they work.
No, they don't work that well. I mean, that's true. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to do some fooling around there, you know,
right,
to get that worked out. And before we jump into the games, there was kind of a major announcement today that has to do with gaming and probably more appropriate to this show than any other show I do. I actually don't know for sure, but Apple Arcade was launched, or at least announced today. It's coming this fall. Apple got up on stage. They announced a ton of stuff today. This was kind of a one we didn't know was coming. We had all had a feeling about other stuff, TV and all that. But basically, here's their tagline. Play over 100 groundbreaking new games where storytelling and design are pushed further than ever before. All in a gaming service unlike any other. Apple Arcade hits the App Store this fall. Let's play, it says.
I'm excited. I saw the headline of this, but I haven't seen anything about it. So you just gave me more information than I had.
All you can play, one subscription. No ads, no in-game purchases. Jump from iPhone to iPad, Mac, and Apple TV. Play offline, anywhere, anytime. Access up to 6 family members. Committed to your privacy. Let me just scroll down. I didn't watch the thing, so I don't actually know. But there's a whole bunch of puzzle games coming out. There's something called the Pathless. Lego Brawls, whatever the hell that is. You know Hot Lava from Klee Entertainment? They were making that weird hop around the house Hot Lava game. That's apparently coming. Oceanhorn 2, which is kind of a Zelda ripoff. And the biggest announcement was Beyond a Steel Sky, which is a sequel to the old adventure point and click adventure game from I don't remember how long ago. But they're finally making a sequel to that thing. And then just a ton of other games. Now, my biggest question is, are they all dumpy mobile games? Everything they announced sounds new.
Right.
So I have high hopes for this. I have a lot of questions, but I have high hopes. So we'll see if the MiFi controllers work well, see if this is anything cool that Apple's doing. But man, everybody getting into the whole games as a subscription service, even Apple. I suspect that you'll see Google Play with something similar if they don't already have it. And everybody wants their hand in that subscription pot, dude.
They gotta get their hand in that subscription pot. Are you spending money? Give it to us. We want some too.
They would really like your money.
Hey, Scott, remember how we used to start the final score show with that little intro bit?
Yeah.
Stay a while. You know that? Could you got that clip?
Stay a while. Listen, yeah, I'm play it again. Here, it's a part of the music, but I'll play it.
Yeah.
Another visitor.
Stay a while.
Stay forever.
Commodore 64, Impossible Mission is where that is from. It is on there, correct?
Yeah. Hold on. We're going to play it. We're going to see. I didn't know that was from the intro.
Yeah, that is the whole intro to the game. Matter of fact, when I launched it, I was like, oh, Impossible Mission is kind of like a Mission Impossible thing. It started up, and I was like,
Well, let's hear it. Watch on YouTube. Okay, here we go.
Destroy him, my robot.
Magnavox.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
The C64 sound chip there, my friend. That's all just right. Awesome.
Well, at the time, it was groundbreaking, that thing. Like,
yeah, yeah, it was awesome.
Nobody had anything quite like it.
Number one, home PC sales ever, right? Didn't it still have that?
Apple IIe may have beat it. I'm not sure. Not 100% sure on that. In fact, it's the Apple IIs that kind of dug into their market, and then what was their next thing? They did the Amiga.
Right, so
they were the Amiga people, same people,
right? And that really did well in production houses, video stuff.
Yeah,
but
then in Europe, it did really well in Europe. Not so much here, but Europe it was a huge hit.
Yeah. My dad actually got this C64 Mini for me for my birthday, which was last week. And he brought me not only this, he brought me a real Commodore 16, which I never had. Mm. There was the VIC-20, and then there was a 16, and then the 64. So I never had the 16.
That's great. I'm jealous of all these things that you're saying. All right. Well, we'll get into the show proper, but exciting stuff afoot. And the most exciting thing is that you got this cool classic, and you're going to report back next week on what you think. All right, let's dive into my first game this week. I played a lot of this game this week for some reason. It's not even new. It's kind of old. Old by, 2015 old, okay, which isn't that old. But it's
There's been so many games coming at me since 2015 that I no longer consider that old because it takes that long to get around to it.
Yeah, I totally. And that's kind of me too. Like, there's a lot of hidden gems that you just miss. This is one of those. It's a small little indie game. It is apparently available also on mobile, although I've never played it there. I've only played this on Steam. And I got it back in 2015, forgot I had it. And then the other day I was having this itch to play some Diablo-ish game. Hmm. And I thought, well, what do I have in my library or what can I get? And I was looking around Steam and Steam's like, oh, you should try Hero Siege. That's a Diablo-like game that's all retro and cool and has, random loot and cool levels and all this, and kind of retro though, like sprites and whatever. And I went, wait, I think I have that game. So it all came back to me and I was like, that's right, I bought this because I was told it was sort of a Diablo-ish game. And I fired it up, reinstalled it. I have it on Steam, and man, I could not stop playing this freaking thing. I really like it like a lot. And played it for hours and hours and hours the other night. And basically, it's what you think it is. There are, I don't know if there are 100 by now, but there are a lot of classes you can be. It's one of the things that sets it apart. So I can be a necromancer. I can be an archer. I can be a blade master. I can be all these things. Berserker, blah, blah, blah. You pick that class, and then you start going to these randomly generated spaces. You fight a bunch of creatures. You get a bunch of random loot. You upgrade your dude's stuff, and you level up. Then you fight a boss, move on to the next level, go back to town, sell your shite, do your quests. Like, everything you think it is. If this sounds like I'm describing an action RPG, that's what it is. You remember, what's the Super Meat Boy guys made that game? Binding of Isaac.
Oh, yeah, Binding of Isaac.
You know how Binding of Isaac is four-way shooting? It's up, down, left, and right. You can't, there's no eight-way, true analog stick or otherwise directional shooting. It's just, you shoot sideways or you shoot up or down.
Yes. This Hero Siege is right now 89 cents on Steam right now.
Are you kidding me? That's a
89 freaking cents.
That's ridiculous. You should pay that and get it. Is it on sale? It must be.
I think it is on sale. It's 85% off. Usually it's $5.99. It's a roguelike. Am I reading that?
Oh, it's
right?
Very much a roguelike. Yeah. Diablo is a roguelike as well. But it's great. It's got dungeons. It's got this overworld. It's got weird puzzles to solve in some places, which surprised me a little bit. But it's mainly just that grind of your numbers are going up and I'm killing a lot of stuff and those things are dropping. A better helmet than I had before, and that's good. Now I'll keep doing it until I get a better one. It's all of those things in this cute little 8-bit looking, more 16-bit looking package.
Right.
And the mobile versions I haven't tried. Oh, they still update it. That's the other thing, is they're always putting new content out. They have seasons, so they have new content per season, that sort of thing.
And this is brought to us by Panic Art Studios, and it was developed by some brothers, it looks like.
Yeah.
Elias? Is that right?
I don't know. Probably.
And Juicy. Juicy is his name. Juicy. Juicy. Yep.
Give it up for Juicy. Yeah, it's just a fun thing, obviously made by fans of the genre. It feels very, I don't know, what's the word? Like, they just know what the loop should be, what the gameplay should be. And it's great. Now, you're saying to me yourself, there's probably better stuff that's come out since then, Scott, that's not 2015 and whatever. I don't know. I mean, has there? Because if there has, I haven't found a lot of it. You know, I don't really like Path of Exile for a bunch of reasons I've gone into before. I could probably get into it again, but I don't want to. And this is a game that they keep up. Like I said, they update it all the time. They're constantly doing new things with it. And that impresses me this much. This deep into the game. Plus, it's only $5 normally or $6 normally and on sale right now. Like, what a dumb, low price. Go pay it and get it.
Totally, totally. If you're wanting to just give it a spin, do it on Steam because they got, let's see, they got the Hero Siege Pocket Edition and that's $9. I guess that's where they make their real money. But that probably a better platform for it. What do you think?
I don't know. I like it better with a controller. So, and I assume you could probably MiFi controller this on a mobile platform, but
right.
I've played it with mouse and keyboard. Don't like it as much as I do with a controller. And I haven't tried the mobile version, so I couldn't tell you. I'm sure it's okay.
Wait, now I was seeing some smack talk coming from Win the Fox in the chat room earlier. He says, Scott's naming all the bland classes. What about the redneck?
Yeah, there's a bunch of wacky ones. And I always forget the name of them all. Here, I'll tell you right now. Hero, oh my gosh.
Hero Siege. Is that an EO or OE? What is it?
It's what, for Hero? It's HERO. What are you talking about?
One time I bought a domain name when I was in my domain name buying phase and I spelt Hero wrong.
Oh,
right. Whoops. I'm like, oh.
Oh, here we go. Okay, so here's a bunch of them. Viking, Pyromancer, Marksman, Nomad, Redneck, Pirate. Necromancer, I played him, he's great. Samurai, right. Paladin, right. Amazon. You just give people 2-day shipping with that character. It's weird.
Right.
Demon Spawn, Demon Slayer. Don't let those two guys in the same room at the same time. Shaman, White Mage. Racist. It's racist. Marauder and more. So they have a lot of them.
Did I assume when the foxes? Gender, because I see some she's going through there.
Did she. I miss that? Yes, she.
Yeah. Did I say otherwise?
I don't know.
Maybe I did. I don't know.
Was it? Maybe wasn't me, was it?
Apologies.
Oh, I do this. I do this.
Sorry,
Brian. I do this all the time.
I'm the worst.
No, you're not the worst. I have a close friend. I have a close trans friend who I cannot stop saying dude to. Now I say dude.
What's wrong with dude? I know,
but it makes them feel uncomfortable. I say dude to my wife. I say dude to my daughter. Sometimes I'm like, dude, come here, whatever. So it's something I'm just used to doing, and so I don't mean anything by it. But if you're not used to it, I totally get that it would be annoying. So I get it. Anyway, those are your classes. That game's great. Y'all should play that game. It's rad. It's called Hero Siege, and it's available on both mobile platforms, iOS and Android, as well as Steam and probably consoles. I don't know. Didn't check.
Probably consoles. Probably.
But it's old. So you may not want to play it because it's old. All right. Brian, tell me about Bomber Crew.
Bomber Crew. Uh-huh. Okay. So I'm playing some Bomber Crew. Uh-huh. I saw this in the Game Pass. I'm cruising through my 100 games list worth of Game Pass games on the Xbox One. And I saw Bomber Crew. And at first I was kind of hesitant. Because I wanted to play something that was kind of indie, but I did not. I'm kind of like wore out on the Lego looking kind of games. I like Lego looking games, like little chibi guys, little characters that are kind of like, you know, miniaturized. Mm-hmm. But I've played a lot of them lately, and so. But I did see this Bomber Crew, and it looked good, and I was like, it sounds interesting. So it's a flight sim. And you play these characters that are little chibi characters, little small characters that are crew, bomber crew for World War II, and you get to dress them up. What? And train them.
What?
Dressing up is not the part. That's not the fun part. The fun part
whatever.
Is
whatever. I know about you and your dolls and stuff. You don't have to deny it. It's fine.
That's right. Get over it. But it's you've played like games like FTL, right? Where you got to like micromanage everything.
Love FTL. So this is,
it's a strategic simulation game. So you gotta pick the crew, which you get to enlist. you get to pick. I think you have like a crew of, is it like eight? I think it's eight. And so you got to get a pilot, you got to get a couple of gunners, you got to get a bomber, you got to get a radio control person, he's not like remote control. You got to get one of those mechanic guys, and you got to have somebody to map everything out.
Yeah.
So you'll know where you're going on your missions.
Right.
So like I said, I was worried this is going to be too cutesy. It actually is very tragic. It's a very tragic game because you get to meet all these characters, and each one of them has their little name, and they got their little information about what they like and that kind of thing, and what they're skilled at. And you go through and you make your crew the best you can, and then you send them off to war, and then when they die, they permadeath, right? They're not coming back.
Right, they're done. So, you got to get more of them or whatever. Yeah
so there's plenty more to enlist, but you get kind of attached because you're upgrading a dude. And you get them to where you want them to be, and then they die. My worst experience was I was playing, and there's a lot going on because you have to zoom into the ship, into the airplane, and kind of manage your guys in there, and then you have to pull back out and look around, and you have to mark enemy jets or places you're going to bomb. Enemy planes, and you have several things you have to do outside. You have to look at your plane from outside, see what's going on there, make sure it's not totally damaged. Then you had to pop back in and check the health of your crew. So I was doing that, and I was all managing everything, and I thought I was doing really good. I was blowing up all the fighter, the bad guy fighters, and I was blowing everybody up really good. And I noticed that one of my people went down. Yeah. I thought it was my map guy. I'm like, no big deal. I'll get to him in a minute. You have 2 minutes to save him. I'm like, cool, cool, no problem. And all of a sudden, bloom, the whole plane blows up and everybody's dead. I'm like, what just happened?
Whoa.
And so I rewound it just a little bit. It wasn't my map guy at all. It was the pilot. The pilot was down. And if the pilot's down, you can have somebody else get in his position and he can still fly the plane.
But you just have to do it before you crash. Like
right before he crashed. I didn't realize it. I was so busy, focused in on everybody. I didn't realize my altitude was dropping. I was just like a big old rock.
Yeah.
And but that was devastating because I lost all eight of my crew members. Usually I'd only lose like maybe one every once in a while, but I had to turn it off. I'm like, nah, can't do it. Can't do it. I miss those guys too much.
Too much, yeah. It looks all right. It looks like a little tower defense-y. Would you say that's a fair?
No, it's not new. It's nothing like tower defense.
Oh,
this
good.
Is bomber crew.
Because I don't like my tower defense.
No, this is by developer Runner Duck. And Runner Duck. Caw, caw, caw. And it's, I don't know why they did it. Anyway, so it's a smaller studio. But Runner Duck is just made this great game that I think you should play it. I mean, I am literally, I think, I don't always try to push you to play a game, but I think if you played this, I think you would really enjoy it.
Okay.
I think you'd really like it.
All right.
It's on Steam for like $15 or something, I believe. They got season passes, and they got, they got DLC packs where you can get different weapons, and you can get different characters and skin packs and that kind of stuff. But just the basic game itself is a lot of fun. It's probably even on... let me see if it's on the PS4.
$14.99 on Steam. By the way, Sidian says that's not the sound a duck makes.
I know. Yeah, I know.
But, what was it you did before? Is it?
I'm a duck.
You're like that episode of Arrested Development when they're all trying to make chicken sounds.
Doing the chickens.
That's pretty awesome. I love it.
I kind of backed out at the last second. I'm like, do I do a good duck impression? I'm like, I don't think I do. So I'm like, I chickened out.
All right. We'll get it today. Again, that game is called Bomber Crew, currently on the Xbox Bomber Game Crew. Pass and also on Steam for
$14.99. It's on the Nintendo Switch. They've got it on Linux, Mac, and PlayStation. So it's everywhere. I'd be interested to see how it control on the Switch because... it does get the controller setup is a little confusing to my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I can adjust it. But there was often a lot of times where I would think I was clicking to zoom in and I was actually doing something else.
I forgot, by the way, since you mentioned the Switch. I haven't played it a ton yet because I beat it so hardcore and or I played it so much on Steam that I didn't think I was going to do this, but I picked up Farm Together on the Switch.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's a little weird, isn't it? It's a little weird that I did that.
Right. That's not weird. That's good. That's nothing wrong with that. I mean, how many copies does that make?
That's just two. So I've got just the two. I just wanted to have, like, it seems like the perfect kind of portable game. Like, I just want to go and I want to farm stuff and I want to plant cabbage and I want to pull things off trees and I want to grow my farm and raise pigs. And guess what? This game is really good at letting you do those eight things I just mentioned.
It does.
So I just wanted to show or point that out.
I want to say that Runner Duck is just a few people as well. I think it's a really small indie crew that made this game.
It looks like one. Not in a bad way, but yeah.
No.
All right, well, let me tell you about a game that is not small. It is, in fact, large, and I don't normally do this on this show, but I'm going to talk about Division 2. Brian and I usually focus on, you know, kind of smaller efforts or whatever, but there's two reasons why. One is I only played Hero Siege in Division 2 this last week with a little bit of WoW thrown in. I had no time for anything else. But the Division 2 is probably already known to most of you. It's a looter shooter. That's the new term I keep hearing. Not sure how I feel about that, but it is a follow-up to the Division 1, which took place in New York City. This game takes place in Washington, D.C. The virus that wiped out a ton of people made its way here, and as a result, a bunch of people died, but also those who survived are either just trying to make do or they're terrible people. And the terrible people are trying to take power and kind of oppress everybody else and hoard all the goods and blah, blah, blah. And you are part of, once again, the Division, which is a super secret organization that was set up just for a case like this. And when all hell broke loose, you were all activated and you're here to stop the bad guys. In effect, though, it basically is Destiny, but with like modern weaponry and more of a modern day post-apocalyptic, but, you know, current day sort of take on things. Whereas, you know, Destiny is very alien and very outer space and lots of, you know, lizard creatures and that sort of thing. I played one quite a bit and I enjoyed it. I felt like one got lots better over time. And, like the current state of the first game, which is still a game you can play, is in really, really good shape. And I thought, man, this probably bodes well for the sequel because they've learned a lot. They're going to include a lot of these changes in this new game. Like, it's going to just feel like a better game. And I'm happy to report, I think that's true. In fact, I think it's, of all these looter shooters currently available anyway, I mean, who knows, Borderlands 3 is expected to be announced. Maybe at PAX. If not, E3 for sure. But it's a popular genre. But of all of them, I think this is probably more my jam than the rest of them. And I've got most of them. Anthem was a huge letdown, but that's supposed to be one of those, you know, one of those games.
Did you purchase Anthem? Because I've been holding my finger on the buy button. I'm just like, I'm not 100% sure. And everybody keeps saying stuff like, oh, you should get Division 2 and some other games that are maybe preferred. Well,
if you're going to spend money, I'd get the Division over Anthem any day of the week. Like,
right.
That's the no-brainer to me. Anthem, here's what I did with Anthem. I played it because I did their, I guess technically Anthem cost me $15 because I did their monthly subscription thing for Origin.
Oh, yeah.
And Origin gives you all their games plus a bunch of third-party Origin games for, it's a subscription game service. So it's like your Game Pass. You pay for it and you just get all those games. And so Anthem I played for, I guess I just did the 30 days. And I was prepared to keep going. I would have just kept doing that subscription because I like a lot of other stuff on the store. But that game really bummed me out. It's not good. I mean, it may turn into something great one day, and I'm stoked if it does, and I'll come back if it is.
I heard people still have great faith that that they'll turn this around before it's over. To wait is what I've been hearing a lot.
Well, they totally could. And I'm not one to poo-poo that, and I say good for them if they can. If they can figure it out, I will come back and play. No question. Right now, that game's in a world of hurt. And this game, on the other hand, launched, for me anyway, bug-free, no server connection issues, no problems with any of that sort of stuff. The only complaint I have with the Division 2, which is like a lot of running and gunning, a lot of cover shooting, a lot of upgraded weapons, very Diablo with the loot, that sort of thing. Again, looter shooters is what these are, this genre, this subgenre. It's a PvE experience, although there is some PvP in the Dark Zone. But for the most part, you're playing against the world and you're leveling to 30 and then there'll be end game. It's, again, like Destiny that way. However, most of these games, you can get by playing single player and do okay solo play. Not this one. I mean, some of it is. All the street level stuff, no problem. But some of the missions, even early on, get your ass handed to you in a package. Like, it's really hard solo. Jump into a group of randos or friends, preferably friends, but if you have to do randos, that's fine. And suddenly you're winning, and it's great. So my only complaint is I wish it was just a little more solo friendly, because I kind of prefer that mode when I'm leveling. It's just my style, and I'd rather do that. But I also understand they want people to play together. So most of the time, there's a good balance in games like this. This one, I think, struggles a little bit. A better example, or an example where I feel like solo play works really well along with co-op, is their other game, Ghost Recon Wildlands, which is similar, except it's a campaign experience that's not like a MMO light like this is. It's more of a open world game that you can play with four of your friends. But I prefer that game solo. I wish this was a little more solo-ish, at least until end game, and then I'll play with friends. But just the leveling experience and story and stuff, I'm just kind of, I don't know, I just rather go in there on my own when I have time to play. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm the same way. You know me, man.
It's a really cool game, though. The squads go up to 4, Sidian's asking. Oh, someone already answered it for him. It's good. It's a good game. I'm impressed. Well done, Ubisoft. You guys iterated on an already pretty okay game, and you made a much better one, and it's really cool. And it's very, yeah. It's got all the Tom Clancy-isms you're used to. And, you know, it's all the stuff Ubisoft does with that license. And they do a really good job here. So thumbs up from me. I'm going to keep going with it. I'm still very early, but it's good.
Yeah, Ubisoft's been trying to get me back to spend my points. Mm-hmm. I'm like, when's the last time I've used the Ubisoft? And maybe I will. Maybe I'm going to
spend those points, son. You got to get in there and chuck them down. Throw them down.
Must has.
Josh Ball 217 says, I can't stop playing. Nothing has hooked me like this for a long time. That's kind of how a lot of people are feeling about it. Anyway, Far Cry New Dawn is also good. There's a bunch of Ubisoft's good. They make good games.
I did pick up New Dawn, and I wasn't going to talk about it on here. I haven't played it yet, but I picked it up for $20 because I got Xbox Live Gold. And so I picked it up for $20. I'm going to try to play a little this week. Don't know. I'll talk about it here. I'll probably definitely play some on the Twitches.
You know who raves about that game is
Nicole.
Yeah, she's
I listened to the episode with her and Kim and everybody. So yeah,
she burned that game to the ground in terms of playing.
She loves those. She loves Far Cry series though.
Let's dive over into PlayStation Classics, Metal Gear Solid, and more. Tell me what you've been playing.
That's right. So in addition to my 664, I've been having a little bit of a mini crisis. I haven't. I actually picked up the PlayStation Classic, the little mini console that PlayStation is doing, Sony. It received a very lukewarm to angry response when it first came out, but now it's around $30 or $40, which is what it should have been to begin with, probably. There's not many games in here, like 20 games, but one of the games that really shines, that still is a fun game. I don't know if you ever played it back in the day, but Metal Gear Solid.
It's still a
solid game.
I ate, slept, and breathed that game forever. It was one of my favorite games. I just want to hear Otacon go, Snake, when I die. He's the best.
So good.
Yeah.
I forgot how stealthy it was, though. I kept thinking it wasn't as stealthy as this, but it is pure just much stealth you want. I want all the stealth. Give it to me.
It was their stealth. I mean, it was their attempt to make a stealth game, and they they added a lot of other content, but you're right. Way more stealthy than the newer ones.
Yeah,
different kind of.
But one thing that surprised me is how just solid snake. Just the guy. He was just the worst. He was just the worst talking back to home base because you constantly have somebody in your ear to help you along where you're going and stuff. And so there's like, there's a couple of lady characters that he's always talking to. And every time he's always got a crack wise about, mm-hmm. you know, the sexual innuendos.
Oh yeah. And, no,
it was surprising.
Kind of a, he's a little bit of a dick.
He's a little bit of a player. He's yeah. a player, right?
Yeah, kind of a yeah. dick.
Solid Snake, man. He's like, I guess, what's that? Well, I'm a Solid Snake, baby. And so, but let me just send you some pics. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh, right. yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Right, right, right. It. But I actually enjoyed it because I was worried about the PlayStation Classic here because, you know, in the other mini games, it's mostly, you know, it's 8-bit kind of. Rendering. So 8-bit still looks like 8-bit today, but you know, this little era we've called the teenage years of the, you know, gaming consoles,
yeah.
things are kind of dithered and, you know, jaggedy and not very anti-aliased.
Mm-hmm. It's bad. So, I played them and I loved my PlayStation and I played the crap out of it. And games like this were top on my list and all that. Mm-hmm. But if I'm being honest, and I sure try to be, it looked like butt, and it still does.
It looked like butt.
And nobody tries to recreate. I mean, once in a while, you see somebody do something creative on some indie game. But most of the time, nobody's trying to recreate that PlayStation 1 look because it looked bad then. It was just the best we could do, and it looks bad now. So why would you? But 8-bit, 16-bit, pixelated stuff still works because there's like an artistry to that. It's different. Yeah. It's just different. This stuff was just
blocky.
Like jaggy, crappy, squiggly, horrendous polygon problems.
Do you remember Owlboy?
Yeah, I remember. I loved Owlboy. You recommended Owlboy. That game's great.
I actually thought that was a good mix. It wasn't. It was still that kind of that little, you know, sprites and little point kind of character, you know, looking things. But it worked. They managed to make it look really good.
Yeah, that game's good. But I don't know why the aesthetic doesn't carry over, and maybe there'll be some nostalgic point in our future where we all go, the heyday of jiggly wobbly crappy polygons and terrible frame rates. I can't wait. You know, like I'm sure that somebody somewhere thinks that's going to be a thing because those PlayStation kids will get just old enough where they can bring out the nostalgia, but man, it's not now, dude.
It was a little too early. It was a little too early for this PlayStation Classic, I think. Yeah. I think we were still, everybody wants to get on the train, and PlayStation was a little fast on this one, I think. They should have slowed their roll and figured out the best games. I tried to think about all the best games that were on the PlayStation.
This is one of them. This is one of them you're talking
about.
Yeah,
this is one of them, absolutely. But I don't know. There was just plenty that I loved that I felt like were just missing. But maybe it was just a little more fractured at that time. Because, I mean, I love playing like Croc. But, I mean, did everybody have Croc?
I had
those
Croc.
Who bought the... Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know.
Did you have Battle Arena Toshinden 1 or 2?
Of course, I had 1.
I had both, and I thought they were really cool at the time. I look at them now, and I think they are... hobo butt crack. They're terrible. So it's just a matter, like there are certain games from the era we've talked about on the show before. I really like Jumpin' Flash, which is that weird rabbit game. I still think that's a super interesting, unique game. Last week I talked about the PlayStation 1 version of Micro Machines.
Oh yeah. I'm a
huge fan of that. Love that. So you'll get no complaint from me about some of my experiences on there. But there's just no way anyone can look at that aesthetic and go, oh, yeah baby, the heyday.
Yeah, those early 32-bit games were just, they were trying. They were trying,
it was like
for sure.
It was like teenage years, like you said, and they're just covered in zits, and they can't get a date, and they just are so awkward going, hey, everybody, I'm a video game. Like, they just hadn't matured. PS2 comes out, GameCube comes out, everything kind of goes,
I will say I played just a minute or two of Ridge Racer Type 4. That was okay. I was kind of surprised that I had any enjoyment in that at all. Because if you ever go back and play like Pole Position, it's like, like the worst game ever. It is not fun at all. There is nothing fun about Pole Position.
My sister Misha loved that game. She loved it so much, but it was never a good racing game. It's not good. No. It's just... it just sucks. It's not good.
It was terrible. Yeah. And once you realize, oh, the car is always in the center of the screen. Actually, what we're doing is just moving the background back and forth. And once you realize that, you kind of get like, ugh. But what was the other? Tekken, I think, was on there. I peeked at it for a minute, and it's still as weird as ever. But I had a little bit of fun.
The original
with that
Tekken,
one,
so. Oh, Tekken's awesome, dude.
Right.
I used to play that in the arcade like crazy. I think Tekken 1 and 2 are on this collection, aren't they?
Tekken 3 is, I think, is the one that was on here.
Or the big complaint was that it, Tekken, no, what was the deal? Oh, that it, maybe one of the Tekkens uses the PAL format.
Right.
And so it's just like really unresponsive and crappy and 50 weird 50 frame hybrid frame rate or something. I can't remember what the deal was, but it was some freaky thing. Chat room says, wasn't Pole Position the first 3D racing game? Oh, no, sir. Go look up Pole Position. There's nothing 3D about that shit.
Right. I mean, guess you technically could say that they tried to fool you into thinking it was 3D. But, yeah, it was whew, Pole Position. Whew.
Yeah, rough business is what that is. All right. You also wanted to make a comment about Karateka, I guess.
Oh, yeah, Karateka. So I used to love this game on the Apple II. Mm-hmm. I had several friends who had it. I didn't have an Apple II. I had a Commodore. We talked about that. But one of the games that I always loved playing, because both my friends had it, it was a very simple little story about, a karate man climbing up a cliff and getting on the cliff and going to save his love away from the man with the bird on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah. And he was the bad guy. That's right.
But the thing I loved about the game was just the pacing and the timing of the character movement was just so, it was just so different than anything else I'd played, because a lot of games were like, you move block to block to block. This was more like the animation was just, it was just so interesting. The legs were really skinny and it just moved in this really unique way. And you had to always crouch down into your fighting position, or you would get killed right away. So if you like ran up into a battle, if you didn't slow down in time, you would just get smacked right in the face and die.
Yeah. Made by one guy too, by the way. Jordan McNair was the guy.
Yeah, one guy. And it was just this amazing game, just visually looked so good. But they've got Karateka Classic on the iOS. I think I paid like 99 cents for it. And it satisfied my itch for that. It's a little bit weird because the way the controls overlay. I wish I had like a controller.
Yeah, like a flat, like an NES D-pad or something. It'd be good.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. I really am enjoying that game. I'm going to play it some more.
What was the deal with the guy with the bird on his shoulder? Did we ever get any kind of closure with that dude, or how'd that all
go? I never made it that far, so I don't know. I'm hoping I can make it that far now, because like I said, it was always just at a friend's house, so I never had time. And I know I had to annoy my friends, because I'd come over and be like, oh, how's it going? Oh, yeah, it's doing good. Yeah, is it time to play the Karateka now?
Well, it was hugely, hugely influential, because fighting games kind of came out of this,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there weren't a lot of as far as I know, there was no Street Fighter yet. There was no Mortal Kombat. Like, there was none of those, like, competitive fighters, no. So this was, like, this early taste of that, and I got to give that some credit, I guess. All right, we like to play a game on the show where we make each other guess sounds from previous older video games. And, I got one right here for you. I want you to guess my game, Brian.
Do it.
See if you can do it, and then I'll play yours, although I didn't download yours, but I'm sure it's fine. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Here comes. Wait, where is it? Okay, guess this
Pac-Man.
Game.
Pac-Man.
Guess this game. Oh, we have to play the intro.
It's a me, Mario.
All right. That terrible thing. All right, check the sound out. See if you can guess it. Oh, sorry. That was loud.
That is instantly familiar, though. What is that?
Cheryl? Is that Cheryl? Where are you going? Hey, wait! Stop!
Okay, it sounds like Resident Evil, but you would be incorrect.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Resident Evil.
Yeah, you would be incorrect. Now, think of a competing game around that time that was trying to say, hey, we also do survival horror, and here, it's cool, too.
Phantasmagoria?
Incorrect.
Bzzzt. Not really a direct, but
here, let me play this as the proper thing. That's incorrect. The actual answer is Silent Hill from the PlayStation 1.
Oh, yeah, Silent Hill, the thing that you can't play.
No, I gave up about halfway through. It made a weird sound. It freaked me out. I turned all the lights on, threw the disc away, and went to bed. Scared me so bad.
There it laid next to the copy of the videotape of Seven out in the snow.
That's right. This is all roughly the same era. That's funny you'd say that. But like speaking of PS1 games that had an impact on me, that one absolutely did. And I still think about it sometimes when I think about scary games. It really got me. Now, I look at it now, like graphically now, you're just like, oh my gosh, why was I ever even nervous about this? It's ugly, ugly, fugly game. But I still think it has something going on and underneath there. I wouldn't mind if Konami, which they don't do this anymore, they barely make video games, but I wish Konami would do like Capcom recently and like redo one of these games in a modern engine. Oh man.
Right.
Resident Evil. Great. Well, I guess they were, PT was going to be that. That was like a demo for the upcoming Silent Hill reboot, right? And that never happened.
That was good, too. Yeah,
it was good, so good. But that inspired all kinds of cool stuff. Like that RE7 game, Resident Evil 7, guarantee you that was a reaction to PT. I've played now a number of horror games that I swear were just like PT homages. Like that's how powerful that demo was. Konami's stupid. They're stupid. They're stupid.
You're so stupid. Make a new Metal Gear Solid 2 while you're at it.
Yeah.
I don't get enough.
I would play. Look, chat room saying Scott. Look, if somebody, Brian, you might have to help me because you're my lord on this stuff. I don't know how to do like PlayStation emulation or any of that. I'd love to stream some old piece of shit from the PS1 era, and I don't know how to do it. I even own some PS1 games that I can't. I don't know what to do with them. I don't have have a machine anymore, so I can't stream them that way. So you and I should talk at some point about how I got to do that.
I've got ways. Now, of course, if it's on the PlayStation Classic, I mean, that's super easy to stream that. But yeah, if there's some emulation that we need to do, we totally can do that.
Yeah, I bought all these games I'm talking about, so I would not feel bad at all about
it. And even if you didn't, there's still plenty of those games out in the wild. These were just regular CD formatted games, and you could easily back them up. Not a problem and get those ROMs. So you could definitely purchase it on eBay. Not Sony's favorite
method
thing for you to do, but you know,
yeah, they don't love that method, but I don't care what they love. I own those games. I'll do what I have
to. I don't feel bad about it. Not there.
No,
not like that.
No. All right, Brian, I'm gonna play yours. Let's see if I can figure it out. Here goes. Okay, the bup 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 sounds a lot like Space Invaders, but hold on.
Right you're close. We must have been thinking the same thing. You know what I need? Some competition to good games.
Is this this isn't Gorf, is it?
No, that's a good guess, too.
All right, hold on.
Love me some Gorf. They also make little cars, this company does.
Oh, they make little cars?
Yeah, they make lots of toys. I crossed over to the video game industry there for a while.
Hold on a second. Coleco something?
No, is it a Coleco game? Is that what it is? Maybe. No. Close, though.
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. Hold on. Let me turn
this originally came out in 1981.
81.
How about I tell you, it came out on the Intellivision.
Oh, that's where it debuted? It wasn't a conversion from an arcade thing or something?
No.
I have no idea.
Their version.
What's this called?
It's Space Armada.
Space Armada. I know that game. My friend had it.
Yeah.
Oh,
Space Armada.
Was that hold on. That's you sure that was in television?
Yeah, in television. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it was a Space Invaders ripoff, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've been talking about it on Twitter. And so I was like, oh, let me see if anybody recognizes the sound from that. Because it's visually a no-brainer. You can definitely spot it.
Yeah, this is this is Space Invaders as hell. I mean, the big difference was the little dudes were a lot more animated.
Right.
I remember this now. Oh, and television. That controller was a piece of shit.
It was a piece of poopy poop.
It was poopy McScoopy. All right. Well, there you go. Old school, Brian. Nice find.
Old school.
Yeah, that one's great. Nice one. Well done. There'll be a little something extra in your chicken. I don't know what any of that means.
Gristly.
All right. Well, that brings us to this part of the show. Time for us to dive into a tiny bit of news. I mean, there was some other stuff that happened this week, but the one I jumped out at me was that you can now get Morrowind for free. But you can only get it today. So this is the 25th anniversary of the Elder Scrolls franchise Bethesda game Morrowind. They'll give you the PC version of the Elder Scrolls 3 for free. It's only valid today, the 25th. That's today. And requires a login at Bethesda.net. Simply redeem using their code, and it's TES25th-Morrowind. But the best place, I found this on a whole bunch of gaming blogs. So you can find all this stuff today. It's not
this
hard.
This just in is 4:21 p.m. Eastern Time. Many users are experiencing logging issues for their Bethesda account. But don't worry, update. Bethesda says due to increased demand and technical difficulties, Bethesda will now offer promotion through Sunday, March 31st.
Oh, good. Well, then they're taking care of people, I suppose. Oh, you know what else they announced today? They said they're going to be releasing... You remember how... Okay, so Fallout 76 was... the big deal was, ooh, it's not coming to Steam. It's going straight to the Bethesda launcher. Ooh, right? I don't think they... Even though that game didn't get well received either way, they would have sold a lot more copies had they put it on Steam. Or both places, right? They just would have. So that's... I think that's just Bethesda in the marketplace. There are others who maybe can do different. Mm-hmm. Blizzard, and there are people who can do that. Even Ubisoft going direct with Epic Store for their version of Division 2, or direct from them. I got it direct from the Uplay Store, but anyway, they can get away with that stuff, but I don't think Bethesda can. And so I think their sales on that thing, it's definitely weren't helped by the fact that it reviewed poorly, but also if you'd have put it on Steam, you would have sold a lot more copies just in general, and it didn't happen. So today they made this huge announcement like it was a big deal. We're all upcoming games coming to Steam and our store. What's it called? Rage 2.
Rage.
The new Doom game. Hell Eternal or whatever it's called. I forgot. And then all their new stuff on Steam. And then he goes, and then the thing says, and Soldier 76. And he says, and Fallout 76 coming to the Steam store. I'm like, well, I guess you learned your lesson, didn't you? Go where the market is.
Yeah, Bethesda's not afraid to try stuff, man.
That's a dangerous thing, especially if your game's that half-baked, because 76 was, by all accounts, except for one person I know, a bummer, right?
Right.
And maybe it's getting better, and apparently they're standing behind it, but I don't know. Fastidious in the chat says Bethesda Blinks. That's actually a pretty good title. I'm going to put this in here. Hold on. Bethesda... Blinks. That's a good title. Although you guys can submit titles if you want at where's our title thing? Frogpants.showbot.tv if you want. I like that Bethesda Blinks a lot. Anyway, point is, what's the point? That's news. There's your news.
The news is Bethesda may have learned something, but doubtful. They just do Bethesda. I never hold ill will towards Bethesda for some reason. I'm just like, either.
These guys are great.
They're doing their thing.
I like them. There ain't nothing wrong with those guys. Okay, Brian, we're going to now do a quick email. This is so quick, it's ridiculous. It came from Sam. Not Sam, hey, Sam. Jane. She's in the chat room, not her. Somebody else.
Oh, Samantha in there?
Yeah, she is. She's right all up in there.
Hey, Samantha!
this person named Sam, well, it could be a man, could be a boy, I don't know. Or it could be a girl, could be a boy. Could be a man, could be a woman. Could be somebody's dog. I don't know. They wrote in and said, so what's Boop's take on Google Stadia? And it reminded me, oh yeah, right, we didn't have a show last Monday, so we couldn't talk about this. My daughter was there for the announcement at GDC, so I got a little even additional feedback from her, like what they were all saying there at the show and stuff. Basically, it's this. They are investing heavily in the future of stream gaming as a service. And based on the playtest I did of all these names are just ruining me today. Assassin's Creed Odyssey last year, or that wasn't even last year, or was it? Whatever that Chrome test was. Do you remember that when they did that?
Yeah, it was. Wasn't it last year?
It might have been.
Feels like last year.
October or November, maybe. Anyway, it's based on this technology, and I was blown away by it. It worked seamlessly. over Wi-Fi on a crappy notebook, and I was getting as good of visuals as I do and response time as I do on the PC the real ones installed on. So that boggled my mind at the time, but then I kind of forgot about it because I don't know what Google's doing. They're just dinking around with Chrome. Well, it turns out this is it. This is what they've been dinking around with. And it seems like they are positioning themselves as a platform for the next generation. Just like you would normally in a cycle like this have a new PlayStation or a new Xbox or a new Nintendo box, whatever. A box is your platform. They're betting that the platform is no longer going to be a box. The platform is going to be a server farm full of blades,
right,
that are computationally doing everything you need to get quality gaming into your house if you have a 30 megabyte per second connection or better.
Right.
But the nice part about all of this is they are talking 60 frames per second, UHD, right, or UHD? Yeah, UHD, 4K. Excuse me, 4K. For that speed. So if you're doing 30 at least, you'll get that kind of quality. If you're doing less than that, you might end up getting bumped to 1080. I don't know, but that's still really good. Anyway, that's the basics of it. I actually think there's a real argument to be made that this is the future. I think Microsoft's E3 presence is going to be all about this and their version, which we already know about, called xCloud, and they're going to push it just as hard or harder than Google did. And I think it's honestly there are only two or three companies in this world who have the back end and infrastructure to do this. Google, Microsoft, and funny enough, Amazon. Sony doesn't really have an answer for this. So
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, if Sony wants to do something in this space and still maintain their, you know, what they're known for, which is really high quality exclusives, the way I would do it is I would partner with Amazon so that you have the back end and you create a mother trucking monster company.
So there's a little bit of history going on here. So yeah, we've seen this jam before. We've been trying to do this since a little thing called, I believe it's called OnLive.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing this for years trying to make, because everybody knows it's the future, but when's the time?
Yeah.
When's the time? And I think everybody's thing seems to think now is the time. And you know, when you say Sony's partnered up with somebody else, they always say they're going to, and then they always kind of pull out. That's how the whole Sony PlayStation started.
No, that's true, but they haven't. They're not even claimed. They haven't said anything. This is what's interesting is it's been almost silence from Sony since this announcement. They're not showing at E3, so I don't know what Sony's doing. Like Sony already has a service where you can stream games from them, but it's their stuff. Yeah. And it's also not their infrastructure. It's somebody else's. They're piggybacking. So they already kind of do this. So their argument might be, well, we've already got a service like that, plus these other services, plus our exclusives, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what they do for a next generation announcement. Do they announce a box? Does Microsoft do that still? But then also there's the streaming service on top of that, and Google's the only one with a boxless platform solution. Like, I don't know. There are a lot of questions to answer across the board, but this is all incredibly fun and fascinating to follow. So everyone wants to get negative about it or overhyped about it or all these different extremes. I would just recommend everybody just hunker down and get ready for it, because it's going to be fun to watch how it all falls in place. And by platform, I mean this. Imagine Microsoft. Let's say Microsoft doesn't even push their cloud stuff as hard. Let's say they just have an Xbox One X V.2 or whatever the hell they're going to call it. And it's hot new next generation thing with a bunch of cloud stuff, but still it's mainly a box. And let's say Sony says, PlayStation 5, here's a box. It's a PlayStation. Here you go. You know what to do. You can still get discs and everything. And then Google says, well, all right, here's our platform. It's all cloud-based. It actually makes a lot of sense, because all you're doing is saying, it's as if Google's saying, here's another box to build for. Now the developers just have to decide where they're going to put their games. And if they think there's enough of a market on this Google plan on Stadia, they'll just make a version of it for that platform. So Ubisoft, as an example, comes out with a new Assassin's Creed game. They still put it out on the disc-based systems. They still put it out on PC on the various stores. They still do all the things they always do. And they port it to this Stadia platform. That's how that works. So I don't think this isn't one of those things where everybody goes to this new thing and leaves discs in the dirt. That doesn't work that way. It's going to be part of this transition that maybe we eventually get there one day. But it's just a matter of if enough people buy into Stadia and that somehow is a attractive thing to publishers and developers, then yeah, they'll make a version for Stadia in the same way they make an Xbox version and a PlayStation 4 version and a Switch version or whatever. It's going to be really interesting, Brian. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to be very interesting, but I think the Google Stadia is going to attract... It's going to attract a maybe younger audience because I think all of us older folks are kind of still going to be brand loyal to Google. And stuff. I'm not saying I won't play anything Google brings out. I'm just saying I don't know how I feel.
Well, as a primary PC game player, right. I think I'm going to be more... Like, I'm trying not to do this. I'm actually making a real effort to be open-minded about this kind of stuff because I think when you start closing your mind, then you end up being ham.
Absolutely.
You end up being a ham radio operator while everyone else is using the internet, you know? So to me, it's easy to get trapped in my way is the best way, the old way, whatever. I'm not into that. What I would like to see, though, like, if you'd have asked me 10, 12 years ago, hey, Scott, what do you think about a future where you never put another disc in a PC or a console ever again? That you'll only download stuff and that's the only way you're going to do it. And these games will be 80 gigabytes, sometimes 100 gigabytes. What would you do? And I'd say, that sounds ridiculous. Have you seen my 1.5 megabyte down freaking DSL? Like, I would have laughed you out of the room. That would seem nuts then. Now, it's 100% my life. I don't do discs at all.
Yeah.
I don't do media, physical media of any kind. And that includes TV, movies, across the board, video games. And the truth is, I'm actually paying less overall than I used to for all this physical crap. So
yeah.
I save money. I have more choice. I have more stuff. And all of it's digital. You have to force me to pay for a disc or a cartridge these days. Even for like Nintendo, it's like, hey, you can get it for $15 off if you buy the disc on Amazon. Or you have to have the cartridge, though. And I actually agonize about that and go, oh, but I'd rather really just download it, you know?
Yeah, I'd rather download. I'm probably a little further back than you are because my bandwidth is limited where I live.
And it makes a difference. You bring up a good point. Not everybody's going to be able to do this out of the gate for sure, right?
But, you know, I'm with you. If it is an option, whenever I see it was not – okay, I don't mean to bash Sony, but I almost – everything I was buying on Sony was disc because the downloads was ridiculous.
They're
I buy
terrible.
A game, I have to wait like 2 or 3 days before I can ever
They're
play.
Terrible, terrible.
Terrible, but Microsoft has really weaned me of that. I do not own a single Microsoft game disc
It's almost like they have a good network background and good network backend to make it so you get your content in a reasonable amount of time in a modern day.
Yeah.
Sony, on the other hand, they're like hand sewing it in Mexico with some old lady. Okay, give me one more disc. I need to send download. And like,
it's ridiculous. I don't know what the deal is.
I don't either, but my example's terrible.
It is horrible. I wanted to walk
that's
away.
That's the Arnold Palmer talking.
Arnold Palmer talking.
But yeah, like.
Too much lemon in this.
I just think there may come a day where I have the same conversation with myself that I have now about my all digital gaming world. I'm gonna have the same thing where I go, oh, I can't believe it's all streaming now. I never thought this would happen.
Why would you download? It's ridiculous to download something. If we could get to that point where, you know, it's really going to come down to, you know, are we really interested in Twitch shooters? I mean, because if you want something that's going to work well there, I just don't know. You're gonna have some convincing to do.
Stadia announced on stage. Google announced on stage that one of the first games you will be able to play on the service will be Doom Eternal, which is a very, very twitchy shooter. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people see that as a big moment because this will be the moment where they can prove out their tech where they've said the controller is also connected to the internet. And these other things are happening too to create no latency. I believe that we'll kind of get there with them and probably kind of get there with Microsoft's xCloud and whatever Sony may have may get us kind of there. But I think that we're still in what this feels like is OnLive was like the Diamond Rio.
Yeah.
And then people iterated, and it got better and better and better. And now there's various services you can do this with. Sony has a thing, lots of in-house kind of streaming solutions. Steam has a way of streaming to boxes around your house, Steam Links, that sort of thing. So that got better. And then the servicey stuff got better. Nvidia's got a service like this that they do. And then now I feel like we're at like iPod 1 era with this Google announcement. To use a market comparison. And that's just immediately going to make things like OnLive and what came before this seem stupid. And then, but then you're going to be like 2-3 years down the road and go, oh my gosh, can you believe we used that iPod One with his black and white screen and those hideous buttons? Sure glad I got this iPod Junior with a 900 gigabyte, you know, whatever. Like we're doing that thing we do with markets and tech, and we're getting there, man. We're getting there,
man. I'll tell you, I will never talk bad about OnLive. Yeah, the promises they made never really met what they promised. However, I had never watched anybody else play a video game online, like as a community, until OnLive, and I went from playing the video games, which I only did for a short time, to just hanging on online. On live, just watching other players play, and that was my first experience of doing that.
Yeah,
and
it was amazing at the time. Amazing at the time.
Yeah, it was. I was like, I didn't even know I enjoyed watching other people play video games. This is amazing.
And then Twitch would come along and do it.
but
also, I have questions about that. The future of that is very interesting because part of what they showed too was, let's say, Brian Dunaway is at home and he's playing. I don't know what game. Let's just say Apex Legends you're playing. And I'm watching you stream this live on YouTube. Note they didn't say anything about Twitch, by the way, up there.
This is
another part of this strategy, I think, is to sort of eke out Twitch as relevant as
Twitch is. Because they got their YouTube gaming, so, you know.
Well, they did. They dumped that, but now I think I know why they dumped it. I think I might know what they're doing now.
I've been so mad at YouTube and Google for so long, I don't watch anything they do.
I know.
I'll be honest.
I know you've been annoyed, but I think that they're positioning this. Well, so the way they showed it was you're in there playing a game, and I'm watching you live stream it. And I'm like, oh, that looks like fun. Does he have any? He's got a slot open. He's just with randos. There'll be a link on the video that I can literally click with my phone, my computer, my wherever I'm at, and in 2 seconds, I'm in your game playing right alongside you, and I joined through that freaking video link. Like, that's so the power of this. It's huge. Potentially 1,000 on stage. You mentioned 1,000 person battle royale game is possible with the cloud computing we're talking about. MMOs that have actually giant worlds where any number of people can be there and there's no limits. There's no bottlenecks, or certainly a lot less bottlenecks. Like there's a lot of potential and interest in that for me. But all I would say to people who are worried about this or feel like this, it's too much change or you want to whatever, just stuff's going to happen with or without us. If it's not good, we won't buy it and it will not work. And if it is good, we will. And some people say, well, Google never sticks with anything. They always drop their stuff after a while. It depends. Like if it makes a bunch of money, Google sticks with it. So if this succeeds, they'll stick with it. And I don't know. I'm all kinds of different thoughts on it, but it's too early to make any big decisions or too much prediction stuff because we just don't know. And I think E3 will be interesting because Microsoft will have their stuff and with the power they have in the back end from Azure and all the stuff they've worked on cloud computing wise, they are prepared to meet this Google announcement kind of head on. Mm-hmm. And that will get interesting. What will be interesting really is to see current gen leader Sony. I don't know what they're going to do if these two things are embraced.
Right.
Because what do they got? They just have, well, we're making Uncharted games and no one else has them. Like, I mean, they can keep doing that because I love their games.
Right.
But they don't.
Go down to GameStop and buy our games.
But they need to have an answer for it, and I'm not sure they do.
Right.
I don't know. So it would be like Apple being forced to make a search engine. Nobody would trust that search engine because they don't have the back end. They don't have the years of content. They don't have the algorithms. They don't have any of that stuff. They haven't invested in that. So people want their devices. They want their computers. They want their other stuff. They're still the largest market cap in the world. But like there's certain areas where a company is strong and where they're not. And right now, the only two that have anywhere near this back end to do what they're promising is Microsoft and Google. Nintendo's a whole other conversation about their own weird shit they do. They probably don't even care about this.
They don't care. They do their own thing.
But that's the way it breaks down. Sony's got their exclusives. Right. Microsoft's got their back end. Google has all back end, but no games experience really. So Microsoft may have an edge in this. I don't know, man. It's going to be really interesting. And Amazon, right? As Soulspur in the chat makes a good point. Amazon is not larger than both. I'm not gonna go with you there, because if you look at what Google's got in the back 40 and what Amazon does, it's Alphabet dwarfs most companies in terms of that capability. However, it's pretty damn close. But the thing with Amazon is they've had a bunch of rumored console stuff for a long time and all that. Nothing's ever really come out of it. If they're not announcing it now, they need to be ready soon. Like, there's a lot of stuff to say about all of this stuff. It's crazy.
It's exciting. It's going to be a different time this next year.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I'll bet you most of what Sony runs, their Sony, what's the name of the PlayStation, not Pro, PlayStation, not Plus either. What is it? That's the one. What's the games?
TV is, the PlayStation Now. So
Now, PlayStation, that's it. I hate all their names. Oh my gosh. It's so dumb.
Yeah, they're not good.
But PlayStation Now is probably running on Amazon AWS services. Like,
you're right.
Because that's who you'd go to, right? Absolutely. Azure, so maybe a combination. I don't know. But
yeah.
Anyway.
So your prediction that they go with Sony, Amazon, kind of find a way to work.
Voltron that together. Shit up, man. Have those two Voltron parts get together, a couple of lions, boom, you got a big long lion. Right.
Boom. Don't do it with the spaceship one though. That's too many parts. Just do the lines, like five pieces.
I would be shocked if something like that doesn't at least get talked about. Cause think about it. Amazon doesn't want to do the work to get Sony level branding and Sony level success in the games world.
Right.
And Sony doesn't want to invest what it takes to compete in the Amazon AWS world. So what a perfect combo. If they can get along or find a way to make it profitable for both of them. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Server Voltron, that's it. That's what we're looking for. All right. That's our take on Stadia, Sam. Hope you enjoyed our long...
That was great. Yeah, thanks, Sam. That was a great question. Yeah. We should have started at the top with that one.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. That's going to do it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. That's frogpants.com/boop. You can also leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462. We love getting those, so keep them coming. 801-471-0462. Boopshow@gmail.com is where Sam sent that email. You can send one as well. And you can find us on Twitter, Boopshow, Scott Johnson, and the Brian Dunaway. Brian, anything else you want to mention today before we go?
Hey, man, I'm gonna be hitting these minis up pretty hard. I haven't decided where I'm going to be hosting all my videos. I'm having trouble with it. I don't know.
I get you. I want to hear more about the C64 thing when you've had some.
Yeah, I'm gonna do mini reviews on all these things. I got a nice little collection. I got the NES Mini. I've got the SNES Mini. I've got the C64. I've got the PlayStation Classic. I've got some Raspberry Pi stuff I'm gonna be messing with. So it's gonna be fun times.
Nice.
Nice.
All right. Well, we will keep you informed as to... I don't know what we'll keep informed. We'll just be here next week. We'll have another show next week. So come back and check us out. If you're like, hey, I want to watch live, when can I do that? Mondays at 3:30 Mountain Time. It's 5:30 Eastern and 2:30 West Coast time here in the U.S. I don't know where it is for all you people who don't live here. Greenwich Mean Time at the Tone is... something o'clock. I have no idea. Anyway, so come on back. Be a part of it. Thank you, chat room, who's in here live today. You guys are awesome, as always. That's going to do it for us, for me, and for Mr. Brian Dunaway. We will be back next time. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
That was like she was 3 months old when she did that.